Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to share with you part of a letter that I think you will find interesting. To the pastor and council of Bethel Lutheran Church, I find it incomprehensible that the people of Bethel would willingly abandon their home and move into a new worship space. The current building may not be ideal, but it has served us well and it can continue to do so if given the chance. I, for one, intend to resign as a member of the congregation if this announced change goes forward. How's that for a happy way to start a sermon? You might be wondering why I would share that with you. You might think it odd to use that as the start to a sermon. You might be wondering how I intend to respond to that letter. Are any of those thoughts going through your mind? In truth, I love that letter. And I'm not going to respond to it, because it wasn't addressed to me. And it wasn't addressed to today's church council. Over the past few months, I have spent a lot of time digging through old files and old records. I have seen more dirty laundry, so to speak, than I think it is anyone's business to ever go through. I have found old council reports, annual meeting reports, committee reports, things from women's groups, from quilters, from altar guild, old paperwork after old file after dusty piece of paper. By the way, if you ever get the chance to go through 60 plus years of old papers for a church to deal with what's going to happen to them next, say no. I'm just saying, if the opportunity shows up, don't. Unless it's your call and you should. As you're probably guessing, that letter was not written about today. I found it stuck between the pages of a 60-plus-year-old property committee report. On a side note, people are using too much paper product. And it's expensive. I think it was costing at least $2 or $3 a month. Do you understand what I'm saying to you about that letter right now? That letter was written 60 plus years ago about the move from the little brown church into the room in which you now sit. Let your mind wrap itself around that for a second. 60 plus years ago, the fear of change, the fear of moving from what was familiar, a whole, 60, 70 feet into this new sanctuary, prompted some anonymous person, and they're going to stay anonymous, because some things are best left in the past, prompted some anonymous person to write a letter threatening to leave the congregation over that move from what was familiar into what was unknown. That should make you smile. That should make you a little sick. It's done both for me. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. It is easy to talk a good game about discipleship, about living the gospel, and it is so much harder to willingly let go and just admit how little control we really have. How far beyond our understanding God is. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And Jesus said, what is it you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. When I was first called here 4 years ago, this moment, this day, was not what was expected. I think that's fair to say. I think if we're perfectly honest with ourselves, the idea was we bring in the young pastor with the young family, and that will bring in other young families, and all the people who've left in the past will come back. Hi, good to see you today. Sorry, was that too awkward to name it? And everything will go back to the way it used to be. Everything will go back to those glory days. That's what's going to happen if we bring in this young guy. And if I am perfectly honest, there is probably a part of me that was thinking the same thing. Because that's how it's supposed to look, right? That's how church is supposed to look. A certain set of programs, a certain number of people, a certain style of worship. That's how church is, quote, supposed to look. And that hasn't happened. Instead, over the last 4 years, what we have done instead is we have wrestled with questions of identity and questions of how we act in faith and questions of vision and ministerial direction. And from those conversations came new opportunities for ministry. And from that process came new relationships with new community partners, many of whom are now coming with us into the new North City location. And from that process came the clear and hard and necessary decision to move, which at first glance seems so far removed from sitting in Christ's glory. But stop and think again about what the glory of Christ looks like, especially since we're sitting in Lent, people. Stop and think about what the glory of Christ truly looks like. The glory of Christ makes no sense in our human-focused way of thinking. The glory of Christ is not what we so often want it to be, what James and John wanted it to be. Pardon me. The triumph and the power, the prestige. The glory of Christ is the twisted glory of the cross. Because the fact that we have that on our wall, or that one is sitting next to me, or on the candle, or on so many of the pastors here, is twisted. In the time of Christ, that is an instrument of torture. That is an instrument of torture and subjugation and humiliation and death. And yet for us, for the Christian family, we look at that and we see hope and we see new life and we see resurrection. We see opportunity for growth. That's twisted. It's beautifully twisted. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Christ is not trying to give us fodder for a bumper sticker, or for those of you who are under 40, for an online meme that you can find in various outlets of social media. It's the Great Commission in Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all I have commanded you. And know that I am with you always to the end of the age. Make disciples, he says. Go therefore and make disciples. Not go therefore and make steeples. Not go therefore and make monuments. Not go therefore and make stubbornly calcified ways of doing things. 60 years, we're still worried about how much paper product costs. Go therefore and make disciples. Go and make people who will get it, who will live it and pass it along. People who understand that walking in faith is not glamorous, it is not easy, it is not convenient. It's not glory in the way that we think of it, but it's what we do. I'm going to repeat something that those of you who were here last week have already heard. And because I know you remember everything that I tell you, I know you remember it. I'm kidding, I know better. I do not know exactly how to build the church of the future. I don't. I do know how to kill it. When we glorify the church of the past at the expense of living the church of the present, that is how you kill the church of the future. Honoring the past and learning from it is beautiful. And if you don't think that I feel that way, you're wrong, and you're just dead wrong. I love the history of this place. I love the stories of this place. But I will be honest with you, I do not worship this place. I worship Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Judy. Ministry is like a trapeze, and I know I said this last week also, but it's good. Ministry is like a trapeze artist. When they are on that first rung, they have a choice. They can reach out into the unknown for that second one, or they can hold on to dear life for what is familiar and safe, what is apparently safe. Because if they cling to that for too long, they'll stop moving. And then they're just stuck hanging there. And eventually it becomes too late to move forward because momentum is gone. And all they can do is hope that there's a safety net below them. And if there isn't, I hope they had their Wheaties. That is what ministry is like. Sometimes we take leaps of faith. Because guess what? It's called faith. We know that intuitively, and yet it is so easy for us as human beings to fight tooth and nail against it. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. We don't get to dictate the terms of the gospel. We don't get to place our wants and desires above the promise of Christ. We don't get to say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you, just not there. Just not anywhere too inconvenient or scary or outside my comfort zone, or can you check with my calendar first? I find it incomprehensible that the people of Bethel would willingly abandon their home and move into a new worship space. I smile every time I think about those words. I love it. Because it is powerful to realize that 60 years ago, people were still people. They still thought they knew best. They still thought they could control the will of God. They still chose fear over faith. And those of you who've been hanging around here for a while know that there are three words that we have been holding on to pretty hardcore this last year or two. Be not afraid. What are those words?
Be not afraid.
I said them louder than you, and there's a lot of you today. Say it again.
Be not afraid.
Thank you. Every messenger from God shows up, those are the first words they say. Be not afraid. Because our first instinct as people is to go, oh my gosh, I'm afraid. Make no mistake, this move is gospel-centered. It is about walking in faith, and it will give the community called Bethel its best shot at new life in ways that none of us can understand or predict, myself included. Today is not the end of Bethel Lutheran Church. And if you disagree, you are wrong. I'm not even going to say we have a difference of opinion. You are wrong. I'm not going to waste my breath arguing, though. Today is the last page in a chapter of Bethel's story. And just like the chapter transitioned 60 years ago that freaked out that person who wrote the letter, it's just a transition. And the thing about chapter transitions is that, yes, sometimes they are unexpected. And sometimes they are jarring. But in the hands of a competent author, and I tell you what, the story of creation has a really good author. If you catch what I'm saying, I'm talking about God, if you're not. Everyone get that? Talking about God as an author? It's an analogy, I think. It's a simile, metaphor. In the hands of a competent author, those transitions are going to lead to something worth sticking around for. So stick around, because for Bethel Lutheran Church, the best is yet to come. Let us pray. We thank you, O gracious, good, and loving God, for the history of this place, for the men and women and children who have done so much good here and from here. We give you thanks for all who have served in this place, be they pastors or lay leaders or volunteers of any kind. We thank you for the hard work and dedication that has built this place to what it is. But we thank you most of all for the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, the heart behind all that we do, the true measure and merit of all that we do. Help us to be mindful that that is what we are called to. Help us to be mindful of how to use our new home as an instrument for your love and your will in this world. We pray all of these things, trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.